There was a story of a rice farmer who saved an entire village from destruction. From his hilltop farm, he felt the earth quake and saw the distant ocean swiftly withdraw from the shoreline. He knew a tidal wave was coming, and in the valley below, he saw his neighbors working low in the fields, and they were soon going to be flooded. So he knew that they had to run quickly to the hilltop. He also knew that his barns were dry as tinder. So with a torch, he set fire to the barns, and soon the fire gong rang out. His neighbors saw the smoke, and they rushed to help him. From their safe perch, they saw the tidal wave wash right where they had been standing and working. In a flash, they knew not only who had saved them, but what their salvation had cost their benefactor. They later erected a monument to his memory bearing the motto, "He gave us all he had and gave gladly." This poor farmer finished first in the eyes of the community, but it cost him everything. There are not many people in the world like that farmer. He willingly sacrificed himself that others might succeed, that they might live. Most people do everything they can to better themselves and think nothing of the people who they step on the way up. Our scripture today suggests that not everyone who finishes first is victorious. Sometimes those who take the last seat, those who willingly finish last, may somehow contribute the most significantly. I might go a step further and say there are times when some people may not finish the task at all, but are faithful in the starting of the work, laying a foundation, and then showing others the way. Perhaps those are the folks who are contributing most extravagantly. I think it's clear from reading the Gospels that disciples might have been lacking in humility just a little bit. It seems they were in the business of trying to promote themselves. On several occasions, Jesus sought to minimize that mentality, but alas, the message, like so many messages, Paul, just did not resonate. In this passage, we see selfish ambition in all of its ugliness. James and John come to Jesus asking for the top seats. Jesus uses this event to teach them some valuable lessons about leadership, service to others, and forgiveness. As we think together today, I want us to talk about the role of all of us as ministers in the church. Today, Laity Sunday. I looked up the word, of course. It's a noun. Lay people as distinct from clergy. Ordinary people as distinct from professionals. Wow. Not to dilute the importance of clergy for those who are called to full-time ministry as a career. Certainly, I'm one of those types. But I thought, how very interesting, how very beautiful it is that God calls ordinary people to extraordinary ways of sharing love, working for justice, bringing hope and light to to a dark world and to draw others to God. God called the laos, a Greek term for people, all people, because they're, you know, Greek UCC people, to this divine mission. Well, of course, that started me off down a little thought process, too. Clergy, laity, what is this? Some sort of class system? First class, the clergy. Some sort of cut above? And second class, lay people who have very little impact? We have created a system in the body of Christ comprised of the called and the not so called. Let's consider the requests of James and John to have Jesus grant them some higher position. How does their request match up to the ministry and the mission Jesus gave them and us? Sharing love, working for justice, bringing hope and light to a dark world, calling and drawing people to God. It doesn't. As a matter of fact, the mission doesn't require a professional or a clergy type at all, or anybody else in a fancy position. It's about the mission of transformational ministry that our community, our world needs now. So I am so grateful for the Church of the Palms. Our growing edges in ministry are blooming and producing fruit. The laos of the Palms, the people of the Palms, are growing in that understanding that the jobs, the opportunities of all people are not to pay, pray, and get out of the way. The laos of the Palms are embracing and engaging in the approach that mission, God's call, is to love and to reach out and keep reaching out every day. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for a time when we can come into this safe space and realize who you are and who we are. Open our hearts and our minds to everything that you would have us to know and to be in this hour and for this week and throughout our journey. We pray these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Faithful commitment can cost you all that you have. Being a servant to others is more of a blessing in the end than being served by others. This idea seemed to be lost on James and John as they asked Jesus to allow them to sit with him in highest position. The right hand was reserved for the person who was second in the rank, and the left-hand seat was reserved for people or a person in the third spot. These two saw themselves as leaders among the disciples, and they wanted their positions to be made permanent. What made them think that they could ask for such things? There are several reasons, perhaps, for this request. First, they based their request on their relationship to Jesus. Matthew tells us that Salome, their mother, made the request first in Matthew 20, 20, and 21. Salome was Mary's sister. Thus, she was the aunt of Jesus, meaning that James and John were cousins. So they appealed to Jesus as their relationship, family. Second, they were merely claiming the promises that had been made in Matthew 19, 28. When Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on a glorious throne, you will have followed me. You will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." These men had been promised thrones and power and position in the kingdom. And so they were just innocently claiming that promise. That may be why Jesus didn't actually rebuke them in their request. They were asking what would be given to them, but they didn't understand the timing. Interesting note about timing in all things. Jesus had just finished telling them that he was going to Jerusalem to be betrayed, rejected, and ultimately die. All these two men can think about is climbing to the top of the pile, and they never grasped the idea that Jesus was headed to a cross. All they could see was a reward, self-serving, self-centered, give me, give me, give me attitude. Where's the ministry focus? What did they intend to provide upon the receipt of these positions? You never hear that. As we think about the circumstances and happenings all around us, where are the people who would be concerned and caring for others, putting the needs of others ahead of anything and everything else? Jesus responds by telling them that they have no idea what they're asking for. He confronts them by asking, "Are you willing to experience all that I will endure?" So when Jesus uses the word cup, perhaps he's talking about a life experience. When he uses the word baptism, perhaps he's using the word immersed or submerged. Jesus is saying, "I'm about to be immersed in an experience that you cannot imagine. Are you able to do that too?" They tell him, "No problem. We got this." But these men do not understand what awaits Jesus. Their response reveals a complete lack of understanding concerning what Jesus is about to suffer. It will cost Jesus everything. So as I reflect back to the laos of the palms, as the ministers, as the people of the palms, we are called to walk with others as they deal with the cup, the life experiences. Can we submerge ourselves, immerse ourselves in the struggles and the real needs of others in our community, offering and sharing love, working for justice, bringing hope and light to a dark world, drawing people to God because of what we have been given through Jesus? Jesus tells them that they will experience his anguish to a degree. They will die for their faith. All of them died a martyr's death, with the exception of John. He was exiled to Patmos and was persecuted for his faith. As people of faith, we are called to walk that path too, to be ready to give our all so that others may drink deeply from the cup of life, as the laos of the palms. We may be persecuted for taking a stand for others in the name of God, whether it be raising a flag, opening our doors in sanctuary for the displaced, speaking out for those who are suffering at the hands of the corrupt and the narrow-minded entities, protecting Mother Earth from destruction. As a church, when we work out the mission to which God has called us, newsflash, we're not always going to agree. There are times when changes that come are not easy, they're not welcome, and they're not necessarily smooth. When changes come, there are those who will jockey for position. Reactions are going to ensue. When the rest of the disciples heard about what John and James were up to, they were ticked just a little bit. They were angry because, oh, these guys, they beat us to the punch. Whatever the reason, reactions ensued. The ten hear, and they're offended to the point of wanting to hold a grudge. We might do that once in a while, but we put on the front of righteousness while our hearts are full of unforgiveness. Those two responses are not servant responses, but love and forgiveness. Those are where servants' hearts can do the most good. Aren't you glad that we are all called to be servants? We just completed one of the largest events the Laos of the Palms does, the rummage sale. I was on the property a few times during the week, and many times I heard and observed people helping people. And it went beyond the lifting and toting and bagging and taking the money and laboring. There was a sense of welcoming of our community and of listening to the needs of people. People shared things about themselves because they recognized that this is a different place. This is a safe place. So I want to say again, thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you who donated time and items and listening ears and hugging arms. Your extravagance overflowed in so many ways. Our mission is to see beyond ourselves to the needs of others. Our mission is to serve others. Yes, the rummage sale is a fundraiser. But you just heard earlier, the great thing about these funds are that they will enable us to continue the mission of God in our community, to continue to take bold steps in meeting the needs of others. So I circle back to the thoughts I shared at the beginning of the message this morning. I'm convinced that if the Church of the Palms is going to continue to be effective, transformational, and life-giving for the next 50 years, then the mission of God is going to take place because of the laos. What word? There you go. Of the Palms. All people. The ones who have been, who are, and who will be in this body, not just the clergy. As I close this message, one of the conversations I heard this week was between Debbie Stinton and another friend, because, you know, I bugged her office. She said, "Debbie," and I won't get this exactly right because I didn't really bug her office, okay? "You will be a satellite. You will be our satellite in Ohio. And we will be yours." Isn't that really what it's all about? Engaging in these life experiences, immersing ourselves in the lives of others, building each other up in Christ, and then sharing all that we have gained with whomever we can, wherever we are planted, even in that Ohio place. Or even in that Sun City place and beyond. So, Debbie, as you spend your last day with us, please be our satellite and know that we will be yours. Thanks be to God.